This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On today's show, Lisa Ostrander interviews a Minneapolis-based hip-hop rap duo, Ill Chemistry. This pair of artists spend their time performing and teaching songwriting, beatboxing, and much more to youth of the Midwest. The duo prepares to record an album and tour in France. Learn about how the chemistry formed between these two individuals on stage and how they deal with compromise. After the interview, we will hear some of their Midwest Music Fest 2011 performance.
I'm Lisa Ostrander, and you guys are listening to the Live Feed, and we are here with Ill Chemistry, a.k.a. Desdemona and Carnage the Executioner. If you guys just want to give a quick introduction, just your name, whichever name you prefer to give, and what you do, and where you're from.
I'm Desdemona, and I'm an MC, I'm a poet, songwriter, I'm also teaching artists in schools, and I'm originally from Mount Pleasant, Iowa, which is in the southeast part of Iowa, and I've lived in the Twin Cities since 1996.
I'm Terrell Woods, a.k.a. Carnage the Executioner, a.k.a. I got a whole bunch of other names, I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm a songwriter, MC, rapper, poet, music teacher, humanitarian, social worker, father. I am from Minneapolis.
So how long have you guys individually been playing music?
I wrote my first rhyme in 1987, so however many years that is, and this is 2011, so a long time. And I started beatboxing when I was 9 years old. I know that better. I wrote my first rhyme when I was 12, and I started beatboxing when I was 9, and I'm 36, so do the math.
About
23 years.
23 years, yeah. Something like that? Okay.
Yeah. I'm a lot younger than him, so no. Jokes. No, I wrote my first song when I was 15. It wasn't something that I was, like, pursuing at the time. It wasn't until my early 20s, and I was in college, and I realized that that's what I wanted to do, was make music. And so I started, so this, you know, was in the 90s at some point, moved to the Twin Cities in 96, and then attempted to get onto the scene in the Twin Cities, which was difficult at the time. It's changed a lot since then, but I've been making music in the Twin Cities since 1997.
Okay. So when did you two meet then and form Ill Chemistry?
Well, we met in the late 90s. Zach from Cancer and from More Than Lights, he was throwing a weekly Sunday night hip-hop event at a little spot in Dinkytown, which is near the U of M in Minneapolis. The spot was called Bon Appetit, and then every Sunday night they'd have a show, and it would be packed to the point where you couldn't even really walk in to the show. And so a lot of times we'd end up sitting in the front little cafe part, and we'd kind of spit lyrics back and forth. I think we did see each other on stage, so there was like this introduction of not knowing each other, and then we introduced ourselves out in the cafe part and kind of talked about working together, but it never really came to be until about 2004. I think he asked me to, he was doing a lot of social work at the time, and he was with a girls group, and he asked me to come and perform for the girls group. It sort of happened by accident because they wanted me to do a song, and I was like, well, it's so hard to just do an a cappella, like a whole song a cappella, especially a rap. It's real strange to me. And so he was like, well, I can beatbox. And I was like, I'd never heard him beatbox, which was also amazing, knowing that we had seen each other millions of times at shows. I just never seen him beatbox.
Yep.
So then he beatboxed for me, and it was so on that we both just kind of looked at each other like, well, that was too easy.
Maybe
we
for a first time.
Yeah,
like maybe a fluke. Let's try it again. And we did like three songs right there, and it was like, something is here.
Yeah.
And so then it took maybe about a year for us to then finally make it really, really happen. But it was a pretty organic process. It still is in a lot of ways.
Still is.
But so 2005 was when we really started to really do it. Yeah.
Okay. Have you guys recorded a CD together then?
Yeah. You know, we've done some live things, but yeah, nothing official. And we are working on it now. We have a deal on a label from France, actually.
Oh, wow.
Hope Street is a side label off of NATO Records. And we're going to put a record out in France and do a tour of France. And I think we will release the album here too in the States. It's harder to release and get it out to the public in the States than it is in other countries.
Mm-hmm. Definitely if you're touring too.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah,
yeah. international tour. I know that's a pretty much every musician's dream to get out there and do that. So,
we're excited.
Bye bye America.
Yeah, sure.
God didn't show us enough love, so now we're leaving.
So yeah, we're excited about that, and we got to finish the project and make it happen.
So when are you guys looking to release this CD then?
I think it's September.
Yeah, it has to be done by then at least.
Yeah.
That's always fun to have the deadline.
Oh yeah, actually, it's good for me because it pushes me to do it. But it's also, you know, different when you're dealing with like lots of different people and everybody has to play a part.
Yep, yeah, definitely.
So it can be difficult.
So do you both have day jobs too then as well, or music is mostly the scene?
Yes and no. We're independent contractors as artists, and so what that means is obviously we do shows and we sell merchandise of our own. But outside of shows and things like that, we go into schools and we work with youth, so or community centers or after school programs, different things, and so we get contracted and we may do a residency or a full year thing depending on what the situation is with the school or if we're going in through an arts organization. So we do that individually, but we also do that as a team as Ill Chemistry, and so we do a lot of school shows. Kids are really into what we do, and I think it's cool to show them like a male female dynamic relationship that is where there's creation happening.
Yeah, definitely.
They love the beatboxing. Obviously, he teaches beatboxing. I teach the writing part, and we just kind of do this collaboration thing.
So you guys are using your music to do good things.
Yeah,
that's a fantastic thing.
So to fully answer that question, yes, we are full-time artists. We get paid to do music-related stuff. That's what we do. We don't have to work a 9-to-5. And, you know, this is our 9-to-5. But it's not a 9-to-5.
It's more like a
24 hours
until
a day.
You go to bed. Uh-huh. And you dream about what
For me, I have to say something on that. I am much more into doing it like this, you know, like not having a break or a particular like time where you settle down. It's cool with me because I'm doing what I love to do. Right. I couldn't do any other job, you know, as much as we do this and be happy.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like I get up in the morning and that's the first thing I do is start working. And, and before I go to bed, the last thing I'm doing is working. And that is true. You know, we definitely work more than 40 hours a week and we don't get paid like a normal regular person gets a check every couple weeks. So it definitely has to be for the love. You know what I mean?
But it's rewarding. It's more rewarding.
Right. And it also gives you that drive too to know that, you know, I need to do this, this, and this in order to make this happen.
Right.
Right. And we still make it, and we make a really big difference in people's lives, you know, better than like, you know, somebody who goes to an office job and just sits there and takes orders from some you know, supervisor. We're changing people's lives with our music and
getting out there.
We're not just getting a paycheck.
I mean, but the truth is too, I think even just changing our own lives more. You know what I mean? Because it's like to sometimes to realize like that I get to do this full time is sort of amazing.
You probably learn from the kids too.
Oh
yeah,
totally.
I feel like I learned from the kids also.
You learn about yourself. I mean, when you get to be creative and that's what you get to do, and then and people pay you to do that, and then people want to hear what you've done, I think it does something inside you. I mean, it's anything. I feel like art in any way, whether it's like a visual art, a dance, or whatever it is, it builds confidence in people, and it makes people really understand that they have power and they can make change, and that I don't know. I just think it can do amazing things. And I wrote a little quote the other day of like, you know, I became a teacher because I wanted to change people, but in the end what changed it was me. And sometimes things don't turn out the way that you hope they'd be, but they turn out the way they were supposed to be.
Yep.
And
everything
so
happens
I'm like,
for a reason.
Yeah and so I think it obviously takes work, hard work and constant work, but I also feel lucky because it takes a combination of things to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. It also takes that, you know, individual ability to have faith in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to get up on stage and just keep going.
Yeah.
So you both write music.
Mm-hmm.
You both also create lyrics. So how does that mesh with each other? Do you guys write songs together individually and then give it to the other person? Or how does that
A little
flow?
Bit of both.
Yeah.
To be honest, like it started off, we just sort of come together and just mash it all up. You know what I mean? And kind of create it on the spot. Mm-hmm. It was very improvisational when we first started. And for a long time, it stayed that way. Eventually, we started to write together, whether that meant he wrote like the beat and the structure, and I wrote the lyrics. lyrics and that structure. And then we started throwing other things together, like verses that we had to make collaborative songs. And it's ever-changing, evolving and stuff. This album will obviously be a lot of collaboration, but even like thematically, when we have like some piece of music that we want to do, typically we throw our ideas mm-hmm. together and create it together and kind of talk, this is what I'm thinking right yeah. here and, yep. and work it out. And what's cool about it is that we can create it right on stage. And I'm not really a beatboxer, mm-hmm. although I can do some things that add a little bit of dimension. Mm-hmm. And then it's the same with him. He's the beatboxer and a vocalist. And when you see us live on stage, I think you hear less from him as a vocalist, but we're trying to get to a place where it's more balanced out. But we started with no pedal, so it was just the beatbox and the voice. And so he couldn't rap because he was doing the beatbox. Right. And now that we have the pedal.
Pedal helps a lot. Right. Definitely adds a lot of different
Right. And he can rap over his own beatboxing. So I think we've changed a lot since we started, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we keep changing because we keep adding other little elements to the
Hip hop is definitely one of those realms that everything is changing so quickly right. that you kind of got yeah. to keep up with it.
But the one thing yeah. that hasn't changed is our chemistry. Mm-hmm. From the beginning, we had great chemistry, and we still seem to have the same type of chemistry.
Is that where you guys got the name?
Well, yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah somebody came up to us and was like, you guys have such an ill chemistry together. And she looked at me, and she was like, that's our name. And I was like, that works.
Word.
You know, so yeah, that's...
I bet that person feels really important now.
I don't remember who it was.
I don't even remember who it was. I remember we were at the Dinky Towner, though, yeah. in one night, and somebody said that, and I was like, oh, that's the name. Because we were known on the scene as Carnage, Separately. The Executioner, and Desdemona, so yep. people knew us as individuals and didn't know us as a group. And so it was interesting transitioning, and things would people say, I'm surprised you guys are working together. I'm like, really? Why? You know, but then it was just funny. And
yeah, no, I saw Ill Chemistry, and I was like, wait, I gotta look this up. And I looked it up, and I was like, oh, snap. Desdemona and Carmen together. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's not a bad deal.
Hey, not at all. So where do you each individually get inspiration for your lyrics?
All around. For me, I mean, like, things that people say to me, I have kids, you know, so my two kids give me inspiration. People I know, Desdemona, other people, just life in general. Other songs, you know, I mean, for me, there's really no limit to where I get inspiration to come up with anything, from music to, like, I could be in a certain mood and it makes me create a certain beat. Mm-hmm. It's not just lyrics that come out when something happens. Maybe beats come out. They help shape the mood.
So do you guys play your shows based on what mood you're in, then?
A lot of times we make the set right when we get to the show rather than making it in advance. We don't rehearse. Sometimes when we're creating a new song, we will, like, play go over it to see what is it going to be. Mm-hmm. But we don't rehearse, and it's kind of intentional that yeah. we do that because we want it to sort of have a freshness to it. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens, and there's a lot of trust between the two of us. I think that we talk a lot about music, about life, and what's yeah. happening with us, and I think we push ideas back and forth between mm-hmm. the two of us and just sort of bounce ideas around. For me, I would say the same things, like, you know, things that people say to me, things that make me angry a lot of times I end up writing about, and that doesn't mean that all my work is angry. It's definitely not. It's this processing of what I was angry about, or what
the
you
moment
know,
that
the
you
passion
in,
or whatever, right?
To convey that emotion to somebody else,
right?
Absolutely,
yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's for fun, sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's like some kind of issue or whatever. But really, we just both want to. I feel like we're on the same page with like wanting just to be creative and not to have like boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so I think that in that way it's really fun because we're not afraid to sort of step outside of what people might expect of us. You know, he's known as a pretty hardcore rapper. I'm known as like a spoken word girl or mm-hmm. whatever, even though I've been rapping for so long. I think putting the two together, people were like, what? Like, what are you guys doing?
It's that old chemistry, right?
But the fact that we're both versatile in what we do makes it You know, I mean, just because we are known for one thing, that doesn't mean that's the only thing we can or choose to do.
Right, and you guys don't have to be on the same page in order to be able to mesh together. And to
In that way, right. Like, I think if you're working with somebody who you sound just like, what's the point?
Yes. Right.
Listen to one or the other.
And you can influence each other in positive ways, you know what I mean, and balance each other out, too. So it's like, you know, having that dynamic, I think, is fun. And I think a lot of times that's what hip-hop is kind of lacking, is like dynamics and changes and soft and hard together, and you know what I mean, or whatever that is, you know, the balance between the two things. And so I think sometimes too that's what's might be interesting for the audience
to see us
that like there's this something else is going on too.
Definitely. I think there are a lot of hip hop artists that, you know, kind of just die out because they don't know where to go to the next level, you know.
And it's just
being
this
able to collaborate is
Or groups who break up because of creative differences.
Right.
You know, that's just the weirdest thing. You know, people who grew up together, who have been rapping since they were kids, and then all of a sudden they break up, and then you hear them solo, and then sometimes they try to make comebacks, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. You know, I don't know what it's like to have a creative difference with somebody to the point where I broke up with them in a group.
Right.
I mean, me and Desdemona have had our conflicts, of course, but I just can't imagine us falling out so bad that we're deciding that we're not going to work together, because outside of being musicians who work together, I think we're friends too, and we call each other up and we bounce a lot of things off of each other. And I think that's part of what keeps our thing flowing too. People may think that we just do music together and practice all the time, but the fact is we talk all the time and we don't practice and we do a lot of music together, which is just as good of a combination, you know.
And having creative differences builds that layering,
right?
You know, I mean, putting them together builds a whole nother element,
right? But there's no ego in what we're doing,
right?
To the point where creative differences allows one person to be heard more than another or something like that. I think that might be one of the reasons like a lot of people break up.
Ego, you know, takes over.
Yeah, it's like, well, I want to do this and he doesn't want to do this, so we're going to break up. But it's like, she might say something and I might not necessarily 100% agree with it, but I know where she's coming from.
Right.
And I might say something and she might not 100% agree with it, but we both have a respect for each other that allows both of us to hear each other out, where it's not going to get to a point where we don't want to work together, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think we were off to a good start from the beginning, and now it seems like it's just getting better. When we get an album out, I think it's going to even be better. And then the next project after that should continuously get better. I know our stage performances have gotten much better. You know, even when
You know, practice makes perfect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or lack of practice.
Or
but,
lack, you know.
But I mean,
but
the practice
mastery,
is the performance.
Right.
So
right.
It's
but,
like,
but the mastery of your thing that you do by yourself on your own level allows you to do what you need to do when you come together.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that we have that... we both are very accomplished in what we do separately. So when we come out and we do our things, we trust each other. Like, I know that she's going to, like, do her song. I know
right.
she's going to do the right song. I know she's going to remember her lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and she knows that I'm going to do the right beat, or, I'm not going to show up missing a piece of my equipment that allows me not to do. You know,
right.
we're both, you know, pretty confident that we know what... You know, we're both bringing to the table separately, which makes us able to work together.
Definitely.
You know, there's a trust there. If I fall, she's going to catch me. If she falls, I'm going to catch her.
Very bondage moment
Oh.
Ill chemistry.
So how often do you guys play shows right now up in the cities?
We haven't been doing a lot of local shows intentionally. We've been doing some out-of-town stuff, North Dakota, South Dakota.
Get out in the Midwest
Wisconsin
area.
Not too long ago. Duluth and places like that. Yeah, getting out of town a little bit. We need to finish this record. We don't have anything lined up in the Twin Cities right now.
One show, we're at the PB and the Jam show. At
That's
the only thing we have together.
Line. So, yeah, we kind of intentionally just taking a break from locally like that. He's working on solo projects. I'm working on solo projects.
You guys are both playing separately at Soundset then?
Yeah, I'm hosting the Fifth Element stage.
Yeah.
And she's on that stage, so...
I'll be playing on the stage, yeah.
So I'll be introducing her and probably in the back.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe get up there.
Maybe.
That's up to her, man.
We'll
that's all,
see.
You know. I'm not pushing it. You know
I don't know.
I'm not pushing it.
That's the ego taking over now, right?
I'm not pushing it, but, you know, if it happens, it happens. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So tell me about one of the most embarrassing moments for you guys on stage, either individually or as a group.
Oh, wow. I'm sure that there's been more than one, but nothing like stands out to me.
Yeah, like, nothing like our pants falling down or nothing like that.
But they're all just like learning experiences, right?
Totally. I mean, there have been times when we've, you know, like fouled up a song and just totally fouled it up. Like, whoa.
Or had to stop in the middle.
But we always couldn't come
back. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure your audience is right there with you. Like, oh, man, you guys can do so much better than that. And you play the next song and you're back.
But we come back from it. You know, we don't dwell with, oh, man, this song is messed up. Okay, now, I see people mess up, and it's obvious that they mess up sometimes because they let everybody know that it was such a big mistake.
Yep. Okay. How about a gratifying or rewarding moment for you guys? Just a really great show or an epic...
You know, we've had lots of great shows, and I would say we've had a lot of moments when there's a lot of people at a show, for one thing, it actually makes it a lot easier to perform because the energy of the crowd bounces right back at you, and you don't have to work as hard, but you feel
you feel more.
But yeah, it's not like
you
a struggle.
It's like,
right, exactly.
It's adrenaline.
Exactly.
Like,
and so those moments are like the greatest because the crowd is right with you, and you're just like, you. It's like, almost
yeah,
like
you guys are feeling this.
To lift you up, you know?
Yep. I remember one of the illest times we had like that. I still remember that show in Duluth.
Oh, yeah.
Some years ago, like in 2006.
It was a sold-out show. They were with Idea and Abilities, and the crowd was nuts. Like, the crowd was just crazy hype.
I've heard.
I even took pictures of the crowd and got them all, like, posing for the picture. Like, we did a mean mug one and then one where they were, like, all happy and smiley. And it was just a crazy night. And nights like that are nights, like, you never forget. Because the energy is just so awesome.
The connectivity. Of it all.
There was times it was so loud in there we couldn't even fit, like, we had to like stop because we were like, ah! It was like, hold on, just let them do that right quick. All
right,
let's
go back. Right.
And that was before we had like toys and stuff. Like, I didn't have my pedals and stuff like that. It was just straight raw back and forth.
Organic.
It was like nothing to like enhance anything, just microphones and us, you know, which is really cool to get a response from people like that because they notice the talent and they notice what's going on. It's just, You can't beat that when it gets like that.
Oh, yeah.
You get thousands of people.
Yeah.
Or hundreds of people in that case. Because, I mean, but it could have been
thousands. Man, if you have 10 people that are that psyched to be there.
Yeah,
I mean, there was thousands of people. Like, when I played my sound set in 2007, there was probably 6,000 people right there just like, yeah.
Ready to
That was cool, you know, get off the stage and sell $800 worth of merch. You know,
nice.
You know, it's
That's a good day.
Yeah, man.
Definitely.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
So if you guys could leave the listeners with one phrase of wisdom, what would it be?
Let's do two. Mine is hustle the struggle.
I knew you were
gonna say don't let the struggle hustle you.
There we go.
That's mine right there.
I guess mine is, you know, don't be afraid to tell your story in whatever way that it is you have to tell it. So whether that's through some whatever kind of art that it is, it doesn't have to be through actual vocal words, you know, but whatever it is, to tell your story because no one else can do it but you.
All right. Anything else you guys want to add? Any websites you want to throw people to or anything like that?
Well, I have a blog. It's under thedesdemona.wordpress.com. And on my blog, I have a couple different things. I have my music and stuff up, but I also have a series of 365 days of female MCs that you've probably never heard of. And it's a video series where I'm just trying to introduce people to female rappers because there's this sort of notion that female rappers don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to show people that they do and that it's not just me. Because a lot of times I get, oh, I've never seen a female rapper before, or you and so-and-so. And right. I'm like, no, there's lots of ladies.
There's a lot of them. Like, they just aren't as...
Right. Yeah, they're just not...
They don't get as many
opportunities, actually. They don't get the same respect. Women's voices in hip-hop just don't get the same... Well, respect is part of it, but just, like, value, you know?
Acknowledgement,
all of that. So there's that. There's stuff on this campaign that I'm running called the Too Big for My Skin campaign, and it's a positive body image campaign that I do with youth. And there's a video, there's a poem. I have curriculum that I've built around it, and I'm still building. I go into schools and do these projects with girls and boys and on it. And then my music is up there, videos, all kinds of stuff. So check out that. So
I'll be sure to check it out.
TheDesdemona.wordpress.com. We're both on Facebook. We're both on Twitter. Desdemona or Carnage the Executioner.
Mine is Carnage, XXXL, triple.
Oh, yeah.
Carnage.
And mine is Desdemona with the number one. I forgot about that for Twitter, at least. But
okay.
We'll be at Soundset, so come to Soundset.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Fidel and Stage,
yeah.
We're both
I'll
rocking
be there.
It.
Thank you guys much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having
appreciate
me.
It.
Today. Is this considered night or day? And here we go.
Breathe. We're gonna have to build a tunnel. The water is rising and the snow is Stop!
I'm gonna do the last verse a cappella so y'all can understand what's really going on. Time to take clothing, shoes and such. Age 12, concerned with look and fly. Times I would do it just to not lose the touch. Say that I can flip a switch and do good with time. Stealing everything in sight was getting risky. Guards were taking down some things. I got caught for those around then. Hip hop hit me hard. Got places, shelters, groups, and foster homes. Used to go to Kmart and steal all the tapes of my favorite rappers and build my collection up. Shame for not earning shit. That caused and shaped a new path. Working hard was a sector rush. Started doing odd jobs, buying what I wanted. Became a man, now I had bucks to flaunt it. But every now and then I see a mouse of the old me. Try to enter doors, people will probably be closing. I've helped a lot of people get further in life, whether advice or teaching art of murdering mice. Somebody get living and cowering, close some fangs, start growling in the lower my scrotum hangs. If there's somebody with fame who inherited leads, eat well and not want to share this with me, I'ma get you. I'll avoid that. When am I big enough to bite your head off while you're rimming a cowboy hat? I want it all, make it with your money. If I don't steal, I might go hungry. Top of bad bones, no good past coming. That's what you think when you don't have nothing. I want it all, out of control, greed. Life's hard, but what does the world owe me? Top of bad bones, no good past coming. That's what you think when you don't have nothing.
Those are my two public service announcement songs for tonight.
Right?
Yeah.
Washington, and there are a lot of 30-year-old rabbits out there who have a lot of things to say, important things, and things that they've learned along the way. So I think we have to learn how to value everybody's voice in hip-hop, even the 38-year-old lady from Minneapolis. Up in the secret weapon, up in the fool, up in the strange bitch who follows all the rules. Up in the victim, up in my own savior, up in the catapult, turned into lifesaver. I've never been wishy-washy, no, I never waver. I've been a mother, though I've never been in labor. I've been overlooked and looked over for my goods. I've been to the top on the mountain I'm stood. I've cried and laughed, been misunderstood. I've done some work, but I covered it good. I've been put on a pedestal, but I'm just a human being. I've tried to be nice and ended up acting mean. I've tried to be perfect, I've tried to take flight. I've tried to be patient with the beauty in life. I've tried to write down the meaning of it all. I've tried to really love, but I just can't fall. See, every day I'm getting up, a new season to write. They ask if I'll be rocking when I'm 35. My reply is why. I close my eyes, see, I'll be rocking as long as I'm alive. I travel the maze, it's a way of life. Slide down the sound wave when the tide is high. Leave a piece of me behind, the night's all bright. And I'm riding the incline when the words take flight. See, I've opened doors when they were locked for me. I've tried to be humble, been on bended knee. I've always shown the power inside of me, but I've never been sure of what others are seeing. I've been confused, yeah, I've been bruised. I've been sucker punched and I still have the blues. I've been the token and I've been the truth. I've been trying to stay grounded and feel these roots. I've been underestimated just like you. I've been on the search and I've found the clues. Life comes down to the path you choose. Failure ain't an option, I will not lose. I look into the mirror, watch it all pass. There's something so beautiful about how fast it falls from the cradle of life into action. The best that I can hope for is a little satisfaction. Every day I'm getting over, new season, right? They ask if I'll be rocking when I'm 35. My reply is fine. I close my eyes, see I'll be rocking as long as I'm alive. I travel the maze, it's a way of life. Slide down the shell, wait for the tide to tide. Leave a piece of me behind, the night's all right. Thank you.
Rest in peace to Idea.
Thank you again to Desdemona and Carnage the Executioner of Ill Chemistry for taking the time out to interview with us.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The live feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.